With that kind of firepower behind it and with strings being pulled from behind the scenes, the virus hunters finally caught on and realized there was a new disease that they could re-justify their viruses with. At that point, and the public was now convinced by 1983 that this was a new disease caused by a virus, not just a syndrome of different people suffering different things. And so the virus hunters jumped in, blamed four viruses in a row as the cause of AIDS. HIV, the current accepted cause of AIDS, was not the first. The very first was none other than the, was something called cytomegalovirus, which is a herpes class virus, which causes cytomegalovirus disease. And it's been known to do that for a number of years. Cytomegalovirus was found in about 80% of these AIDS patients. It's found in about 70% of the population. So, the main problem was that the cytomegalovirus or herpes virus researchers didn't have enough political clout or money within the biomedical research establishment in order to have their virus named as the cause of AIDS. The other herpes virologists got in on the act. These were the Epstein-Barr virologists, whose labs are devoted to the study of Epstein-Barr virus as a cause of Burkitt's lymphoma. But now, after 30 years, people have gotten a little bored of Burkitt's lymphoma, and furthermore, there are even a little bit some questions as to whether the virus might cause Burkitt's lymphoma. I talked about that a little earlier. So now the Epstein-Barr virologists nominated our virus as the cause of AIDS, please. Still didn't have enough clout. Some of Gallo's friends jumped to the rescue with HTLV-1. Remember the virus I said that supposedly caused adult T-cell leukemia on this one Japanese island, but in fact there's no evidence, and for which Dr. Gallo had calculated a whopping 55-year latent period between infection and leukemia. So in other words, the virus was allegedly getting into the T-cells of your blood supply and making the T-cells grow into a cancer. Well, now these same guys offered HTLV-1 as the cause of AIDS, meaning that the same virus goes into the T-cells and kills off the T-cells. Believe it or not, it took these guys several months before some wiseacre finally realized that they're saying that the same virus that gets in the T-cells and makes them grow too well is killing off and making the T-cells disappear. Someone realized that was a contradiction, and at that point, HTLV-1 was dropped. Finally, it was concluded they had to actually have a new virus. And so Dr. Luc Montagnier at the Pasteur Institute in Paris finally went into the lymph nodes of a gay man who did not have AIDS and isolated from the lymph nodes a new retrovirus related sort of generally in the same category as HTLV-1, but it was a new one that you can isolate all the time. New viruses are being isolated constantly. They don't cause anything, but they're being isolated. This virus later came to be known as the human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV. It became blamed as the cause of AIDS at a press conference that I alluded to earlier. April 23rd, 1984, Dr. Robert Gallo, who had received a sample of this virus from Dr. Montagnier in Paris for comparison with his own isolate that he never produced, shortly thereafter, Dr. Gallo had now co-discovered the virus, and his virus was absolutely identical to the French virus. So once again, Dr. Gallo is full of coincidences and tremendous discoveries. He held a press conference with Secretary of Health and Human Services, Margaret Heckler. At this press conference, it was officially announced that it's now the view of the United States government that this virus, later to be known as HIV, is the cause of AIDS. It's the fourth virus. There were no scientific papers, no scientific symposia. This was a press conference to the New York Times and the television networks, Time Magazine. This was not a scientific forum. Scientists didn't even know this was coming, and when it was announced, they were boggled. They said, well, what's the basis for this? Scientists had no way to evaluate whether this was true or not. Was this virus, in fact, the cause of AIDS? But it was established, and from that day forward, the federal funding on AIDS was devoted exclusively to HIV research. From that day forward, if you are a scientist and you need a grant to survive to keep your lab open, you want to do AIDS research, you better not do it on anything but HIV, because you won't get a grant otherwise. So right away, all the scientists went back to their offices and wrote up grant proposals to study HIV, each one figuring, well, I may not be able to do anything about it, but at least I can keep my lab going and maybe contribute a little research on this virus, whatever it is. So, of course, the whole scientific community, bought by the money, the herd mentality, simply bought into the virus as soon as they knew that's where the money was coming. And that's generally how decisions are made within science today. Someone decides what causes something, then the money flows there, and then the scientists agree and back that up. So, of course, from that day forward, HIV has been locked in as the official cause of AIDS. The question is, does it really cause AIDS? There are now nearly 100,000 scientific papers produced on HIV, more than for any virus in the history of the world. We know this thing backward and forward, inside out, its biochemical structure, its properties. We've infected in every conceivable animal. We've sequenced it genetically forward, backward, upside down. We know everything about this virus. And the biggest thing that keeps becoming more and more mysterious is, how could such a simple, ordinary, harmless, typical, standard, conventional virus possibly cause a disease or a syndrome like AIDS? The fact is, as I'm going to show you, it doesn't.